Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives, the Be Unique featured Sunday cinema show. My creative tonight is director Kevin James Barry. You know Kevin from such films as Among Them and Serena and the Rats. His current project, Gridlocked, on tour with the Briggs, is a documentary following punk rock band the Briggs on their 10-day West Coast tour after a lengthy hiatus. It's a behind-the-scenes and on-stage look at life on the road. The documentary features brothers Joey and Jason LaRocca, as well as Derek Envy, Trevor Jackson, and Jake Margolis. Gridlocked on tour with the Briggs is available to watch now on YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, and Amazon Prime. This episode is brought to you by Newsly. Newsly is the hot new app where you can get all of today's trending topics all in one spot. Even easier than that, you can listen to the stories. No more scrolling, no more searching, no more getting frustrated because you have to have a subscription to read the rest of the article. Just get Newsly. Head over to newsly.me, use my promo code CCC2022 to enjoy 1 month of the premium subscription for free. But guess what? You can also listen for free. Newsly.me. It's just that simple. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, cuddle up with your host Pup, and enjoy the show. We're here to talk about your film, the documentary, and it's Gridlocked, and it's about the band The Briggs. So I saw the documentary, but then I wanted to research the band further. It's the two brothers, right? The LaRocca brothers.
Mm-hmm.
When did they initially start out?
When did they start playing music together?
Right.
They had started the Briggs under another name called I Decline. And mm-hmm. That band started around 99, 2000. And they had a couple bands before that. But really, they were like teenagers. You know, they were very young when they started the Briggs. And for Joey, music has been his whole life. It's been all he really knows for a career, for a job, for a long time, so ever since he was really young. And the film kind of goes into that, like what it's like to not really know what else to do with yourself once you settle down and start a family and maybe need to move on to other things.
Right. And Gridlock is, it goes into that as well, but it also is them kind of going back on the road, trying to revisit some of that magic, for lack of a better word.
That's right. They had been on a hiatus for many years in 2015 when they put out a new EP and decided to go on a 10-day tour up and down the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I had known the band at that point because I had shot a music video for them and shot some rehearsals, and had known Joey for a while. So they asked me to come along, and initially they said, just, you know, help us out with the merch table and shoot some photos for us. And I said, sure, and I'll bring my video camera and I'll film some stuff too. And I don't think they were really expecting me to film the whole tour. So I might have surprised them with that, but I knew that after I filmed it, I'd have enough footage for a documentary.
And of course, I mean, why would you not?
Yeah.
You see an opportunity, seize the opportunity for sure.
Yeah, that's a golden rule of filmmaking, is to take the opportunities when they present themselves.
Yeah. Not to make a pun, but, you know, if you can take the shot, take the shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Take me back a little bit for you. I know that you've done quite a few feature films. How did you start off in the business?
I mean, I got started pretty young, too. I just picked up a camera. I'd use my dad's camera, or I'd buy a camera online and start filming things with my friends. Initially, it was like, you know, prank videos, and then that turned into like skateboarding videos, and that turned into like little narrative things that I'd write or improvise with friends. I had a lot of fun doing that. Initially, I really wanted to be a painter, so I went to school for painting for several years. And then when I kind of got tired of that, I realized I was spending all my free time actually working and studying the filmmaking process more than painting.
Right.
So I changed my focus and switched schools and went to school in Boston for filmmaking, and started my first feature film when I was a senior in Boston.
Okay. All right. So you were doing this in the early, what are we calling them? The early aughts?
The aughts.
Yeah. And that was the time for the type of films that you were making, or type of projects that you were working on, with the skateboarding and that whole entire scene, and the kind of I guess it wasn't really the end of grunge, but grunge was in there, and it was, and a lot of the things were on the street and gritty and but realistic as well. So it's kind of nice to see with the documentary that that's seems to have it seems to be kind of a tone as well of the documentary. I mean, I know it's real life, but just the way that it was shot and put together, really
Yeah,
cool.
I was a big fan of punk at the time that I was doing all the film stuff too, and I really like that energy and that DIY spirit that you could just decide that you're a musician or an artist and you could pick up an instrument and go out and make some music. And I tried to carry that over into the filmmaking and just say, okay, I'm a filmmaker and I'm just going to start doing it, and all I need is a camera and some people to stand in front of the camera. And so that just kind of got more and more complex as time went on, but it carried the same spirit of what's the best thing we can do with the resources that we have.
Right. So this was in 2015, they went back on tour, and that's when you were doing the filming over the course of 10 days.
Yeah, I
Wow.
was in the van with them for the full 10 days. It was pretty fast paced. We would we loaded in, got on the road, stopped at a venue, loaded out, played a show, loaded back in, got back on the road, and that was the process over and over again. There wasn't a lot of downtime. I think there's only 2 nights that we actually did not sleep in the van, which were welcome because everybody needed a shower. But other than that, it was really fast, and it was a very interesting experience as my first tour with the band.
Right. And for them, for the band members, and it's so funny you said you slept in the van and did this. And you would think that the difference between a young, the Briggs, and, slightly older, more stable, perhaps, family men, it's like, wait, we're still sleeping in the van? I thought we'd be at the Sheraton anymore, but I thought we'd be at the Hilton or whatever. So it's so funny. Was that like a conscious decision of like we want to really immerse ourselves and remind us, remind ourselves of what it was like, or was it just that's how it happened?
I think that's just how it is, for a band that is pulling in so much, money for their tour. They don't want to blow it all on accommodations, and also it was just the pace of it as well, because on the West Coast the cities are further apart, so it just makes it a necessity to keep traveling in between shows. Driving through the night is kind of really re a requirement to get to the next city on time for the next show. On the East Coast, where the cities are closer together, it might have made more sense to stop for hotels and get a little bit more time of rest in.
So it was just a time thing. Set up and down the West Coast, was that California?
Where did we start off? In Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Traveled north to San Francisco. We went all the way up to Vancouver and
Really?
then all the way down to San Diego before getting back to LA.
Okay, that's 10 days.
Yeah, in 10 days, and about,
Were
I
you?
think there were 8 shows along the route, or 8 or 9.
Holy cow, that is a lot of driving. I'm tired just thinking about it. But you're right. I mean, you don't really have a choice. It's like we have to be here by 4. So, we're going to take turns. You can sleep and I'll drive and we'll drink 3 Mountain Dews before we start the show and we'll go.
Yeah, they even had me driving a little bit too. I was trying to avoid driving because I wanted to be at the camera and at ready to film at any point, but I think a lot of them got pretty exhausted towards the end of the tour, and I was trying to help out.
For sure. I mean, you just have to be burnt out to do that much in relatively short period of time. And ultimately, it was an amazing experience, though, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It combined, a couple of my favorite things. Just first of all, filmmaking process is always something that makes me feel more alive. It's what I really love to do, and also spending time with people that you like and admire. Like one of your favorite bands is not a bad thing. And also traveling and being on the road is exciting, getting to see new cities and having new experiences in different places. So the three of those things all put together is a really fun time for sure.
This was in 2015. I assume you had a bit of time editing, but it's just being released now. Okay.
Yeah, this was made with really no budget. It was kind of what I was thinking of as like a side project over the years, and it had I had some of my own personal like trouble just getting into the editing of it because of other work that I was doing and other things that I was focusing on. And also editing a documentary is just such a huge undertaking. It was kind of overwhelming. And a couple of years after the tour, the Briggs had put together a reunion show with Flogging Molly on St. Patrick's Day, and I thought this would be a good thing to film and possibly a good finale for the film.
Yeah.
So after I shot that, I kind of had a better sense of an arc to the story, and then I gave it off to an editor. A couple different editors worked on it, and they said that it would really help to have more interviews with Joey and with the band. So I set about doing some more interviews. So it really was a drawn out process for my first documentary of figuring out all the pieces that I needed and coming to an understanding of what the story needed to be.
Right. And because it's a documentary, it's real. You can't just make things up to fluff it up either.
Yeah, you can certainly, I think an editor can definitely twist things around a lot. I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to give people the most honest and entertaining view of what it was like to be on the tour with them and who they are as people and as a band. So I tried to balance those two things and not put too much of a skew on anything.
Right. And it's so not difficult, but it's a kind of like a tightrope because you want to portray and you want to put forth the actual true story. But sometimes life can be boring or life can be like ugly, and you might be tempted to like, well, let's make this a little more exciting or let's pretty it up a little bit. But then you lose the realism of what you're trying to tell in your story. These people who write nonfiction, literature, they write nonfiction. Absolute kudos to you. I will never in a million years be able to do it because there's too much to get in your head about and too much to like overthink and worry about getting wrong. Let's write about dragons. For instance, let's talk about bank robbers and a hostage in a hotel room. It's so based on real life, but you have a little bit of leeway with it. And with the band, with the guys, you gotta, this is what happened. This is it.
Yeah, now that I've done both, I've written and directed a narrative, two narratives, and I've written, not written, I've edited and directed this documentary. I see after that a narrative really has to be, a story has to be crafted in both cases. With a narrative film, you have to write it and kind of come up with it out of nowhere. In a documentary, you have to come up with it after you shot all this stuff and look into it and see where the story is. But the reality is a story still needs to be constructed in both cases. You can't really just throw all the footage in a row and expect people to be fascinated by it. You've got to still put them on an emotional journey, and you still have to show the most interesting or most poignant pieces of somebody's life.
Right. I guess you could say with a feature film, you write the story and people act it out. And this way, you're kind of like, it's already acted out. Now let me fit a story to it.
Exactly, yeah. It's really it's a strange inversion, but yeah, that's exactly it.
So what is up next?
Right
Documentary.
now I'm working on another rock documentary. This
Ooh.
one about Jesse Hughes and the Eagles of Death Metal.
Okay.
That one is still in the process of being shot, so I can't really give you a great idea of the story just yet. We're going to be figuring out how we want to present everything, but we know that we're focusing on the relationship between Jesse and his fans. And him as a person. He's a really fascinating guy. He's been through a lot and he's persevered despite personal tragedies. And his
Right.
fan base is really diehard. They're really great people and they're super, super excited to when they go see him. And I think his fans and he connect on a different level, in a way that I haven't really seen before. So we're working on just kind of capturing that right now, and we're gonna put that all together and create the story afterwards.
Well, exactly. And how about the Briggs? What are they out doing?
Well, they're kind of back in a hiatus mode, but when they get the opportunity, I think they might get back together to do another show. Last I heard, they had done the reunion show with Flogging Molly on St. Patrick's Day, and I believe they were planning on doing another one, but then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So hopefully something will come up this year, but not really sure.
Yeah, stupid pandemic
Yeah.
ruining everybody.
Yeah.
So where can people see Gridlock? Is it available in theaters or just on demand or both?
It's on VOD on demand. It's also being sold on Blu-ray and DVD.
Oh, nice.
iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Vudu, a bunch of different streaming services, and yeah, that's it right now. That's it. Basically, it got released yesterday.
Awesome. I love that films are being released on DVD and Blu-ray again, because it seems like for a bit with this, as we said, the stupid pandemic, it seems like a lot of filmmakers and indie filmmakers, I know sometimes it comes down to the cost, but also I think because a lot of things weren't being produced because of shipping issues or risk of transmission and things like this. So it's so fun for me to see like DVDs again on the shelf because I'm that girl.
Yeah, me too. I really love having a physical copy of a film. I like the artwork. I like knowing that it's not going to just disappear off of, my streaming platform service. People can't just snap a finger and take it away and then it's gone.
Right. Like when for me, when Endgame first came out, well, actually, a lot of the Marvel movies, they were all on Amazon Prime, and I bought them because I wanted them. And then Disney Plus came along. No offense to Disney, I love you. But and they took them all away from my Amazon Prime, and I'm like, son of a
Yeah,
bitch.
crazy. That's not right.
What if you see the members of the band in public and you're like, hey, can you sign my phone screen on Netflix?
Yeah,
No,
right.
or a DVD and you can have it signed. That's awesome.
Yeah. And if people got a copy of the Blu-ray or DVD, I'm sure they'd be happy to sign them. They're really cool guys.
Yeah. Well, they look awesome and they look like they're a bunch of fun to hang out with.
Definitely.
Yeah, you kind of lived a little tiny bit of my dream to go, on tour with a rock band.
If you get a chance, don't turn it down.
Absolutely. Well, if I had my dream, it would be Queen, but can't
Yeah,
do
I hear
it.
you.
Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure. Well, maybe Fall Out Boy. No, it was a pleasure to talk with you, and I'm excited to see the new stuff coming out and for everybody to see Gridlocked. The Briggs music, as the kids say, slaps pretty hard.
Yeah, for sure.
And Flogging Molly is nothing to sneeze at either. Come on.
Yeah.
That's high praise, high recognition. I love it.
Yeah, they're great.
Guys, tell them I said hello, and I hope that you feel better.
Will do. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I see you drinking tea. Keep up the good work. You need a little whiskey, little honey, you'll be fine.
Whiskey's coming later for sure.
All righty. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful night.
You too.
Right, bye.
Bye now.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this creative conversation. Be sure to follow me on social media. I am Pup Duffy basically everywhere. You can follow the show on Facebook. It's Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. Head over to beunique.org. Like, follow, and support my beautiful humans over there. Be sure to check out my sponsor. And for your own sponsorship or interview opportunities, please email me at pup4ccc@gmail.com. If you like the music you're hearing, head on over to raleighkeegan.com and do yourself a favor and buy this album. You can download it or you can have a physical CD. You can also keep up to date on tour dates and future releases. As always, take care of each other, love each other, watch each other's back, and I'll see you next time.